Joining me today from the Maryland Department of Health are Secretary Dennis Schrader and Deputy Secretary Dr. Jinlin Chan. We're here today to provide Marylanders with the current status of eligibility for COVID-19 booster shots. But first, I want to take a moment to provide an update on our COVID recovery, which continues to outpace the rest of the nation. Thanks to the many millions of Marylanders who have rolled up their sleeves, the state of Maryland continues to be one of the most vaccinated states in America. We've now administered more than 8.3 million COVID-19 vaccines, and as of today, 98% of all Marylanders 65 and older have been vaccinated. 85.9% of all Marylanders 18 and older have been vaccinated, and 84.9% of all Maryland's COVID-19 case rate has dropped by 39% and is down 76% from its peak. Our positivity rate has declined by 37% over the last 2 months and is down 88% since its peak. And hospitalizations have declined 28% in recent weeks and are down 68% from their peak. Late last week, the CDC granted approval for booster shots from both Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, and I immediately directed state health department officials to authorize providers across the state to make boosters available everywhere for the nearly 1.4 million Marylanders who are now eligible to receive a booster shot. This is a very important step, something that we've been pushing for and that state health officials have been preparing for over the past several months. When we received FDA and CDC authorization in August, we immediately began administering boosters to immunocompromised Marylanders. We launched an antibody testing program for nursing home residents across the state in order to ascertain their current levels of immunity from COVID-19. This pilot program, which was the first of its kind in the country, found that more than 60% of the nursing home residents tested demonstrated some form of waning or weakened immunity. And it showed that as many as one in three were particularly vulnerable. As a result, we issued an order which made all Marylanders 65 and older who are living in congregate care settings immediately eligible for booster shots. As of today, Maryland has already administered 280,000 booster shots. We have a robust network of vaccination providers, including pharmacies, primary care providers, mobile clinics, local health departments, and community health centers. And we have both the supply and the capacity to provide a booster shot to anyone who needs one. I know there's been a lot of conflicting and confusing guidance from the federal government. So today I want to take just a moment to give Marylanders some clarity and clarification on booster eligibility. To determine your eligibility for a COVID-19 booster shot, the simplest thing to do first is to just look at your vaccination card. For both Pfizer and Moderna, if you received your second dose 6 months ago or more, you may qualify for one of the approved categories, which are everyone 65 and older, everyone 18 and older with underlying health conditions, and everyone 18 and older whose occupation puts them at increased risk. If you're in any one of those categories, or you received a second dose of Pfizer or Moderna on or before April 25th, you are now eligible, and you should strongly consider getting a COVID-19 booster shot immediately. For all Marylanders who received the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine at least 2 months ago, which means on or before August 25th, both the FDA and CDC are now recommending that you get a booster shot as soon as possible. And you can choose any vaccine as a booster shot. Even if it's different from what you received initially, you're able to mix and match. For example, if you received one Johnson & Johnson shot, you may receive a Pfizer or a Moderna shot as your booster. In order to help Marylanders determine their eligibility for a booster, we've launched a new portal on covidvax.maryland.gov where you can enter your information and get clearer guidance. From day one of the crisis, our focus has always been on preventing hospitalizations and deaths. And these vaccines have all proven to be extremely effective at this. Post-vaccination hospitalizations have occurred in just 0.055% of vaccinated Marylanders. And post-vaccination deaths have occurred in just 0.007% of vaccinated Marylanders, which is an amazing success. However, the data we now have collected clearly does show that the level of protection does wane over time, beginning really after 5 or 6 months, especially for those who are immunocompromised or they have comorbidities and they're the most vulnerable. Our vaccination and efforts in Maryland began 11 months ago at the end of last year with our nursing homes and hospitals, which is why since May, we have gradually seen an increase in post-vaccination infections and deaths. The vast majority of these deaths are linked to underlying conditions and comorbidities, which are not just limited to severe or terminal illness. In fact, more than half of our COVID deaths over the last month are linked to hypertension and diabetes. Cancer, obesity, and chronic lung disease, and other leading comorbidities among COVID deaths in Maryland. State health officials have issued an advisory strongly urging people with comorbidities to get a booster shot as soon as possible. They have also urging them to get that additional dose of protection. We also have a vigorous outreach effort underway for all those Marylanders who are newly eligible for a booster shot. In partnership with Maryland nursing and congregate care facilities, local health departments, primary care physicians, hospitals, pharmacies, and other providers across the state. In addition, our statewide call center continues to directly and proactively contact all eligible Marylanders and has already scheduled more than 100,000 additional appointments for booster shots. You can visit covidvax.maryland.gov to find out where boosters are available nearest to you. And finally, we are now completing final preparations for being able to vaccinate 5 to 11-year-olds. We anticipate that CDC authorization could come as early as next week, which will make 515,000 Maryland children immediately eligible for a vaccine. Pfizer has submitted data to the federal government, which shows that its vaccine is safe and 90.7% effective against symptomatic COVID-19 in children. State health officials have begun placing orders for an initial 180,000 Pfizer doses for children, working in partnership with pediatricians, pharmacies, school systems, local health departments, and the Vaccine Equity Task Force. There will be a wide range of options for getting children vaccinated, and we will be providing additional updates to make sure that parents have all of the information that they need. In the weeks ahead, we will remain relentlessly focused on getting more of those final 2% of seniors and the remaining 14% of Marylanders who have not yet been vaccinated, while also urging the nearly 1.4 million Marylanders who are now eligible to get their booster shot as soon as possible.
Thank you, Governor Dr. Chan, and good afternoon, everybody. I want to begin by reiterating an important point that I cannot stress enough. The Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines are working extremely well and remain the most effective tool in our fight against this pandemic. As the governor said, Maryland is one of the most vaccinated states in the country. Nearly 85% of our eligible population, 12 and older, have had it. Consider that as of October 17th, a total of 261 deaths have occurred among the nearly 3.9 million Marylanders who have been fully vaccinated. That's a rate of less than 1%. Maryland's COVID-19 health metrics, including positivity rate, case rate per 100,000, and hospitalizations, continue to decline across the state because of how well these vaccines are protecting us. Maryland's economy is open because of how well these vaccines are protecting us. And Maryland's children, young adults, and teachers are back in school because of how well these vaccines are protecting us. The COVID-19 vaccines are doing exactly what vaccines are supposed to do. They have instructed our immune systems to mount a defense to protect us from serious illness, hospitalization, and death. As with many vaccines, the COVID-19 vaccines do have a limitation in their durability, however. Over time, the powerful protection that vaccines have given us, including against the Delta and other variants, will naturally wane. This in no way means you are no longer protected, because you are. What it does mean is that you may need a booster shot to maintain your immunity, and many of us are now at that stage. If you're now eligible for a booster shot, we're asking you to schedule an appointment and get one as soon as you can. Myself and my wife are now eligible. We had Moderna, and in fact, on Saturday, I went online, made an appointment for Sunday night, and last night around 10 o'clock, we were both got our boosters. So it can be done, and we're urging people. The capacity's out there. And that 24/7 operation with CVS worked exactly the way it was supposed to. Making it even more convenient is the fact it's now safe to mix and match vaccines. This means that eligible Marylanders may now choose which vaccine they want for a booster, even if it is different from what they received initially. And to further help, as the governor mentioned, we've updated our covidvax.maryland.gov website so that people can find the vaccinations, and our call center at 855-MD-GO-VAX, eligible who presents at our vaccine clinics. And providers across the state should vaccinate any Marylander who self-attests that they are eligible for a booster shot. Before I conclude, I want to echo what the governor said about comorbidities. Preliminary Maryland data shows that those with comorbidities are at an increased risk of contracting and dying from COVID-19. As many people know, comorbidity means more than one disease or condition is present in the same person at the same time. However, many comorbidities are common conditions which are normally managed, but when combined with COVID can become life-threatening. Very common conditions like obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, coronary artery disease, and COPD. We have instructed all COVID-19 vaccine providers to reach out to such vulnerable patients in their network to get them a booster shot as soon as possible. Again, the reason we as state officials are strongly recommending that you get a booster shot is not because the virus has changed. It hasn't. We are urging you to get a booster shot because it can and will help in maintaining your immunity. We continue to benefit from what we all have witnessed since these vaccines became available in December of 2020. They have made an enormous impact on countering the serious illness, hospitalization, and death from COVID-19 that gripped Maryland and the rest of the country before we had them. I want to emphasize that if you are one of the 1.3 million Marylanders who are now eligible for a booster shot, please get one. And if you're one of the 780,000 unvaccinated but eligible Marylanders, please get vaccinated. We have plenty of supply. With vaccines on hand throughout the state, we have more than 960,000 Pfizer doses, we have more than 830,000 Moderna doses, and we have about 34,000 Johnson & Johnson doses. This is more than 1.8 million vaccine doses in the state. Please, if you're eligible, get your COVID-19 booster. We're ready for you. I'll stop there and turn it back to you, Governor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. With that, we'll be happy to take some questions.
Governor, your advisor, Dr. Redfield, was on the last few days saying that roughly 40% of the deaths in Maryland over the last 6 to 8 years were related to
No, the number was not quite accurate. It's somewhere closer to 30. I think just under 30%, not 40. But it's also because 86% of the people are vaccinated. So, and it is comorbidities for the most part. We have almost no cases of people without some kind of a comorbidity dying that are vaccinated. But what we're seeing is, you know, there's less than 14% unvaccinated. When we get to 100% of people vaccinated, every single hospitalization and death will be people that have already been vaccinated but have waning immunity that haven't gotten a booster. So less than 14% of the people are responsible for 70-some percent of all the hospitalizations and deaths. The other 86% are responsible for a smaller, it's like an 80-20 rule.
Is the booster a single dosage or is it a double dose
like the initial vaccine? I'll let maybe one of these guys.
Yes. It's a single dose, and the Moderna is half of what the original dose was, but Pfizer and J&J are one dose of the original formula.
Thank you. Go ahead. Straight on, Dr. Chairman.
Either
one,
go ahead. Yes, go ahead. In regards to what about the children, and young people soon, how will the plan of that work? Will the school, the university
center,
will be all different places?
Dr. Chairman, why don't you take it?
No, but to care for it.
Thank you so much for that question. So I guess in a word, yes, all of it, all of the above. What we have been working on over the last several weeks especially, but really over several months, is working very closely with our partners with the Maryland chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics, with the Maryland chapter of the American Academy of Family Physicians, with our local health departments, pharmacies, and our school systems. We've had meetings with our local superintendents so that really we're trying to meet people where they are, as we have been throughout the vaccine campaign. And so doses will be available in pediatrician offices, primary care doctors' offices, local health departments who are partnering in most jurisdictions with the school systems, and they're in planning stages now, you know, final planning stages of having school-based vaccine clinics for children. Pediatricians are gearing up. We continue to work very closely with them and have been talking to them weekly, really, for the last few months. So pharmacies as well, we know many pharmacies will be getting doses and are prepared to vaccinate children in that 5 to 11 age group.
Dr. Chan, you talked about the meeting children where they are. You know, the Biden administration said they want to see a person sort of take a lead on vaccinating children. Given that the pandemic has sort of laid bare the inequities in the healthcare system, not every family has a primary care doctor, which means not every child has a pediatrician. What is the plan to meet those children?
Well, this is exactly why we really have been working with our local health departments in partnership with school systems, because every child goes to school. And so we want to work with school systems to put those school-based vaccine clinics in the communities where they need them so that children can get to them, so that parents may not, you know, have to get them transported there if that's possible. So we're working very closely with them. In addition, I would say that the Vaccine Equity Task Force that the governor and the secretary mentioned is still working. And they're also being prepared to provide and work with communities for this vaccine rollout. I'm sorry. So the school systems themselves are not vaccine providers. They are working in partnership with another provider. Typically, it's the local health department.
If I may, I have a very basic question about the vaccine for children. There's about 500,000, Governor, you said, who are eligible. Parents are very anxious and excited, and I feel like I just heard a 500,000 heart sing when you said there's only 180,000 doses that are coming. How is that Is that first and second doses, as we saw with the official rollout of the vaccine, or is that just first doses? Is that all you were allowed to order? I understand there's 15 million doses ready to go. That does not seem like a lot.
So it actually is a lot more than we ever got in one go. Especially with the rollout last year. So we believe that, you know, by getting that amount early on in the state will actually help get those initial groups of, you know, kids and the parents who want to get their kids vaccinated as soon as possible. What we are hearing from our federal partners is that that's obviously not going to be the only, allocation that the state gets. We will be getting more in the weeks to come, and we'll be working very closely with providers to manage the first and second doses.
And just, I need to be clear on this. So that's what you were allowed to order, that's what was allocated to, and is this, have you been ordered as we were at the beginning? For first and second doses, you know how you have to set the second dose aside?
Right.
Is that the same with this?
That's what we're working on right now. Again, as we get more information about exactly how many doses we'll be getting in the weeks to come, we'll be managing that closely with the providers. At this point in time, the federal government will not be setting aside a second dose allocation as they did early on in the vaccine rollout in December, January, et cetera. So we'll be working very closely with providers to make sure that individuals who got or get a first dose coming up also have a dose later for their second dose.
A couple of quick questions. For example, we're here at Stop and Play for people who are vaccinated. Just chatting, you see what's going on. One question comes up from the J&J rep. Gosh, how can I be the one that decides which of these three choices I get next? All right? So I don't know who wants to handle that. Well, do you have any guidance? I mean, we've all read that if you get a Moderna, your immunity rises higher than you get the others. So do you have any guidance to the, again, the J&J crowd who is now coming in saying, what should I do?
So I would say get the dose that is most convenient for you. The most important thing is that they get boosted. 2 months after they receive their first dose, and this is regardless of whether they have an underlying medical condition or regardless of age, anyone who got a Johnson & Johnson vaccine 2 months or more ago should be looking for a booster of any kind. We have, as the secretary indicated in his numbers, a much larger supply of of Pfizer and of Moderna in the state, and that's because of manufacturing and other supply issues. And so I would say look for the booster that's most accessible to you. We don't have a specific recommendation.
I didn't want the Johnson & Johnson, but they said get the one that's first available too. And now you're saying that you're not willing to provide any advice about getting one or the other.
I think at this point, you know, when we look at the Johnson & Johnson data, and you know, for any vaccine, it is still protective against hospitalizations and death. And as we've been reiterating, and the governor has said, and that is still our topmost priority, is prevent complications from COVID infection. And so if she can find a Pfizer or Moderna dose in her vicinity, we would advise that she get it. Or if it's a Johnson & Johnson, it is just a smaller supply in the state.
And then the other thing that we hear probably about at this place where we went, there were actually parents and folks who came in and said, hey, I'm 6 months past, and I think it's my turn, and I feel vulnerable and I want it. Do you not want that to happen?
Maybe I'll let Secretary Schrader address that.
Well, one, I'd love if you could refer that person. We believe we have plenty of vaccine. We're monitoring the situation. If somebody feels that they want it and they're not getting it, they should just call our call center and we'll take care of it immediately. There's plenty of vaccine and we'll get them an appointment.
Thank you, Dr. I have one point I want to make sure of. The phone will visit you. If somebody has two of those, any two of those, obesity and health care, whatever the case may be, then technically, apparently,
yes.
Any one of them.
Any one of them. Right. That includes them. Yes. That includes anybody who has one or more comorbidities is in that 1.4 million, and they're eligible today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. In terms of the child vaccine, going back to that, as soon as all the approvals come through, how long will it be until we start seeing shots go to door and knock?
We're planning to start immediately. They are pre-positioning the vaccine, which is why we've already ordered it. And so as soon as it gets here, we'll be ready. And we've, as Dr. Chan, we've been talking to all the providers to get ready to roll. So we want to start immediately.
Same day that they make it to get approval.
Whatever, yeah.
Is it here in our state yet?
Not yet, but we expect it to arrive very soon. We made the initial orders last week.
And again, the 180,000, what you were allowed to order, that's
not what you decided. No, we ordered everything that we could get, and we wanted it here. And we used some modeling curves based on the 12 to 15, which said that there was an early surge, and then it flattened out. And our numbers suggest that 180,000 will serve us well to get off to a very fast start.
Last question.
In terms of some of our families who are unvaccinated, some families are local, are you going to at least encourage them that they shouldn't see vaccinated?
We've been encouraging every single person for 11 months to get vaccinated, so we're going to continue to do that.